Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
It was a fun event watching the match and getting into some golf. Somebody else who I know was into some golf today, although he wasn't watching the match. He was playing his own match. John Harper, my colleague over at SNY, and you can read his columns at SNY.tv. Harp, who'd you play with today?
I was out with my son today, and I got to tell you, Sal, I'm a little annoyed because he's hitting the ball by me with his driver, and I'm not liking it.
And if you don't know Harp, Harp is as competitive an individual as you will find, whether it's basketball, handball, softball, and obviously golf. Yeah, racquetball. What did I say? Handball? Racquetball. Yeah. And Harp, your son sticking it to you, huh?
Well, he's driving it by me. I can't say he was outscoring me, so, but he's going to get there, I'm afraid, pretty soon. So, we had a good day. It was fun. It was a fun day.
Nice to get out there.
Got to take advantage of the last few warm days we're going to get, probably.
You know? Yeah, really. The warm November weather. Crazy what's been going on here. All right, Harp, free agency has been ice cold so far. Let's start with the Yankees. What is the holdup with DJ LeMahieu? I mean, the longer it goes, the more I feel like they might actually lose him, which they can't afford to do. Why is this taking so long with DJ LeMahieu here?
I don't know. I just think this is kind of become par for the course. It's not like the Yankees to strike early on these things. They're probably going to wait and see if somebody really I think somebody's going to have to go crazy to outbid them, but I think they don't want to bid against themselves either. And, you know, Cashman knows his way around all these things by now. And he's probably asking for more than they want to pay. They don't want to bid against themselves, so they want to see we know there's a market for LeMahieu. The guy's a great player, a couple of great years. But what is that market? And they also know LeMahieu wants to come back. There's nothing fake about that in what LeMahieu has said and what the Yankees believe. So I think it's just a matter of playing this thing out. I just can't imagine they're going to let him go. I know, you know, they're talking about they don't want to spend a lot of money this winter. Would like to get under the luxury tax, I think they can, you know, they can do that if they go conservative on the pitching route, and with the idea, I think, with the idea of maybe they would add if they had to during the season with pitching. But you can't let LeMahieu go. He's just too valuable to that team. And, you know, we talk a lot about pitching with the Yankees. But it's really come down to, and I think you and I have talked about this, it's in the last couple, there are three or four postseason with them, it's come down to lack of timely hitting. LeMahieu has gotten some big hits for them in the postseason, but very few other guys have when it really comes down to crunch time in those big games that has cost them series. So, they lose LeMahieu. There's just way too much swing and miss in that lineup. So I just can't imagine they would let him go.
We are in agreement. Now, there's a lot there, and I want to stick with that for a second. Number one, if LeMahieu does really want to come back to the Yankees, that would lead me to believe that they'll get a deal done, right? Because then he's not going to take the most money. So you think LeMahieu will value being back with the Yankees more so than potentially getting more money elsewhere?
Well, everybody has their price, you know. I think to a point that's probably true. But, you know, if somebody blows him away, let's say not the same dollar figures, but if there's a kind of a gap that Cano had, what was it, 7 or 8 years ago when he left the Yankees to go to the Seattle Mariners, I think that would be hard to turn down for LeMahieu. But I think if the bids are reasonably close, I think he's going back to the Yankees.
So let's assume Harp, we're talking with John Harper, SNY.TV, longtime Daily News columnist. Let's assume LeMahieu goes back to the Yankees. You just touched on the biggest point. Everybody talks about pitching. No, they have enough, and pitching hasn't been the issue, and they'll probably add, and we could get to that in a little bit. But how are they going to improve that lineup come postseason? Because it's the same thing. Voit had a tremendous regular season. He goes bye-bye in the postseason, does nothing. Even with John Carlos Stanton raking in the postseason, it still wasn't enough. Judge, Stanton, Sanchez, Voit, they're all the same type hitters. How then, even with LeMahieu back, how are the Yankees going to improve this ball club?
Yeah, there's something to that for sure, Sal. But I also think there's something to the idea that they've been really close. And you know, they've gotten there, was it 4 years in a row now, to the postseason. And some of those games could have gone either way. As I said, they didn't get some of the big hits. But, you know, LeMahieu did tie that game six against the Astros a couple years ago before, what's his name, gave it up in the ninth. Chapman, right.
Didn't Chapman, Chapman gave it up to Altuve.
I think part of it, though, is even though Stanton did hit in the postseason last year, I think part of it is they need Judge and Stanton to be reasonably healthy for the course of the season to get into kind of a rhythm going into the postseason. The whole lineup is kind of in a rhythm, and just going into the postseason, it's a different feel. I mean, Judge had a couple big hits early on, but then didn't do much else in the postseason. And the other guy, too, is, you know, I really curious to see what Torres does next year, because he was, you know, he was being elevated to superstar almost after his first year or so in the big leagues, and now he came back to earth a little bit. He's a guy you think is a guy that's going to hit elite pitching in the postseason. He looked like that type of player and didn't look like it last year. So if he gets back to that level, I do think they have enough offensively. It's just a matter of getting those big hits, and I think sometimes a team can overreact by doing too much to change things if it's a matter of just getting those big hits at the right time. I mean, there comes a point when you got to say enough's enough and move on if guys aren't getting it done. But I would go to bat one more time with this group for the most part. If you have LeMahieu back and you think Torres is going to be better, and Urshela looks like a guy that's established himself, he got a few big hits for them as well. I think there's enough there. I just think you know you got to get over the hump at some point. And if you take another shot at it, and then if you don't, maybe then you have to start really thinking about some significant changes.
Yeah, it's interesting because you're right. They've come close, obviously, 17, 18, 19, and then this pandemic shortened year. But it's been the same stuff. And you could say,
Chapman hasn't helped either. I mean,
right.
We talk a lot about their bullpen, but their bullpen's given up some big hits in these postseasons as well.
Well, the one thing that's been consistent is that they've been hurt, whether it's Judge or Stanton, whoever. They have not been healthy in recent years. Even though they get healthy into the postseason, to your point, they haven't done it from start to finish of a year on into the postseason. And then when they get to the postseason, they've underperformed, whether it's Stanton or Judge or Torres. These guys aren't living up to their full potential. But how about the pitching for a second? How are they going to improve? How are they going to fill out this rotation? And then what about the bullpen? Are they going to do the same thing with the bullpen, hope to go at it again next year? I love bringing Britton back, but they probably need more in the pen and in the starting rotation.
Yeah, I think Cashman will add some type of a reliever, maybe a couple, depending on where exactly Canely is on his way back next year.
And Ottavino has stunk. Ottavino's been a disappointment, too, because he was supposed to be one of those big arms.
Yeah, he's not a guy. And remember how much we thought what a smart move that was compared to the Mets signing Familia, and it hasn't really worked out that way, at least for the Yankees. But, I think Cashman will add. I just did a column for SNY-TV about kind of the best bargains on the free agent market, and there's a lot of pitching out there that you could take a chance on. Some relievers especially. I actually, a guy like Kirby Yates is really intriguing to me. I think as much for the Mets as for the Yankees, but he was the guy with that split finger, was maybe the best reliever in baseball a couple of years ago. He had some arm problems last year. He had elbow surgery to remove bone chips, but that's not the kind of surgery that should wipe you out. And if he comes back, there's that guy, there's Trevor Rosenthal, guys like that. But I would think somebody like maybe the Yankees will take a chance on. As for the starters, I don't know. I have a feeling they're going to get Tanaka on a pretty reasonable deal. I think he made his big money. I could see him coming back. And then I doubt if Paxton comes back to them. I think they're going to count on some of these young guys, you know, that we saw Garcia, a couple of these other guys that we know are coming, and Clark Schmidt, I think, is the one guy that they're really high on. I could see them trying to think and going to the year that, and you know, you don't know where Severino stands either. They're assuming he'll be back at some point as well. But I could see them going into the year with some question marks, hoping they can use some of the young guys, and Cashman thinking he can get pitching at the trade deadline if he has to.
Yeah, interesting. King, Montgomery, I could see that for the Yanks. And look, the bullpen, like you said, but with limited money to spend, or at least that they don't want to spend, Harp, it's going to be hard to improve this ball club. I mean, if you're looking at similar going into next year again, I don't know if I would feel that they'd be that much in a better spot to go out there and win a World Series, their first one since 2009. So you're talking about potentially bringing back essentially the same ball club.
Yeah, that's definitely fair. Sal, but I think you can also make the other argument is that they've gotten there 4 years in a row with this team. They don't necessarily need to be better in terms of just getting there. You know, once you get there, you just got to perform. And like the Nationals did a couple years ago, you got to get the big performances out of your best pitchers, and you got to get some of those big hits. And I'd give this team another chance to do it. And if they don't get it done another year, then I got to think about changing it up. But I think if you bring LeMahieu back, you stand a really good chance of being in a good spot. I think you can, over 162, I think they'll win the division over the Rays, especially the Rays might have some pitching issues themselves next year with Morton gone. I know they got a lot of good young pitching, but I think the Yankees could win the division and be in a spot where they can go in a area of strength, kind of position of power going into the postseason.
Talking with John Harper of SNY.TV, a team that we know will not be the same going into next year. The Mets, Harp, finally, after all these years, they are shopping in the gourmet section. What a relief. It is therapeutic to know that they are actually looking at big-name players, Springer and Bauer or Lindor, Real Muto. I haven't heard Arenado. He would be atop my list. Where are we standing here with the Mets as far as who you think they're going to target, what you think they're going to end up with? I know there's a lot of different ways to go, but what are your thoughts so far with the Mets in this offseason?
It makes it a lot more fun to talk about, that's for sure. I heard you talking about Arenado before. My one concern with him would be, you know, those splits are pretty extreme, the home-road splits, you know, as far as what he's done with the bat. Outside
we can't go down
field.
This road again. Harp, didn't we do that with LeMahieu as well?
But LeMahieu is a different type of hitter. I don't know. I mean, the numbers are pretty dramatic. So I don't know. I would be a little concerned about that because when you're talking about, you know, the money that he's owed, you know, and I know
$200 million, right?
Yeah, it shouldn't be as much of an issue now with Steve Cohen, but that would concern me. But anyway, getting back to your question, I agree with you. I think Springer to me is the key. I think I'd go get him and just put an end to this center field stuff that's been going on for years. They haven't had a true center fielder. And the thing I really love about Springer is he's proven, you know, we talk about getting hits in the clutch. He's a guy that's done that in the postseason. He's a guy that's hit elite pitching. I think you put him in that lineup and it changes the face of that lineup. Because last year, you know, I mean, I've heard since the end of the season, you hear and watch stuff and people quoting the numbers from the Mets and talking about what a great offense they had. No, it wasn't a great offense. Yeah, they put up numbers, but there were a lot of empty numbers. You can't just put up empty numbers and call it a great offense. You got to get it done when it counts. And that lineup did not get it done when it counts. Maybe it was fluky over 60 games, but to me, adding a guy like Springer and, you know, by the way, LeMahieu as well. But I just don't see the Mets going LeMahieu. I think it makes a little more sense to address needs. You can put McNeil at second with Cano gone now. And you can address needs in center field with Springer and then pitching and catching. I don't know if they're going to get two of those big guys, Bauer or Realmuto. But I really think I would go Springer because you can get a catcher, McCann, without spending on Realmuto. And Bauer's pretty important to me because there's not another guy out there that can at the top of the rotation type starter. But you can get some starting depth, whether it's Odorizzi or guys like that, and hope that Syndergaard comes back. But Springer would be my number one guy at this point.
Two more for you, Harp. We're in agreement with Springer. Look, I wouldn't be opposed to Bauer. You mentioned LeMahieu with the Mets. Why wouldn't they be interested? I don't think it's going to happen either, but it doesn't sound like they're even interested. Why wouldn't they be? I mean, he's a great player. He could play third or second. You put him in that lineup. We know what type of all-around ball player he is. Why, if there are no restrictions or limitations, why wouldn't the Mets be interested in DJ LeMahieu?
I think they should look into it for sure, but I would be, I would be a little leery in terms of, unless you're going to absolutely blow him away, I still think, I think he's going back to the Yankees.
Right.
If the offers are close. And look, you could put him at second. You could even put him at third and put McNeil at second if you want to. You're going to improve the team. I think it'd be a great move to go get him. But I think in terms of just strictly filling needs, I think there's probably maybe not smarter, but maybe more efficient way to do it if you just put McNeil at second and go try and fill center field pitching and catching with the money you're going to spend on free agency. I'm assuming, Steve Cohen's going to have limits as to how much he's going to spend.
Well, I guess that's another question. I'm going to have now two more. Now, I lied before. Now there's officially two more. How many
moves?
I got
nowhere to go, Sal. I already played
How many moves is it realistic to expect that they make? You mentioned the guys that they could potentially get for a bargain here, and there's going to be a lot of those guys, whether it's bullpen arms or whatever. I'm assuming they're going to add there. They're going to have to get a catcher. They're shopping with the big free agents, with Bauer or Springer. How many moves, Harp, is realistic to expect that this ball club can make here to try to improve this team to where they can become a contender to go out there and compete to win a World Series?
I think it should be realistic to expect a ton of moves, really, Sal. Because don't forget, too, they're going to be watching now. This non-tender day is coming up in early December. You're probably going to see some pretty good players be non-tendered. We saw it already with teams turning down options for guys like Morton and Brad Hand. So, and I think Sandy Alderson, that's his style. He going back to his Oakland days, he always had a reputation for finding not bargains but efficient spending money efficiently, the whole Moneyball concept. Now, he didn't really do as much of that with the Mets the first time around, but he didn't have as much flexibility in terms of the payroll to work with. So I think he's going to be cautious in terms of spending on the big pieces, but I think they're going to make a lot of moves. He has said, he said the other day, we're more than one player away, which is pretty obvious. And he said they need to add depth as well as kind of, the star power type guys. So I could see them, I think you need to add a couple of starters, even if they're not expensive type starters, because there's not enough starting pitching, still not sure what are you going to do with Seth Lugo. I think they need more arms in that bullpen, even though I know you're now a Edwin Diaz convert, apparently watching a Baseball Night in New York the other night. So.
No way.
I
Diaz,
saw a segment that you calling him a surefire thing.
No way. What was this? Harp, you got the wrong guy. Me?
They put it up on the internet, Sal. You even had the quote. That's not me saying that.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's right. They read you read the headline, but if you watch it, it was McCarron who said that.
Nah,
I said, "Oh, okay, you're scaring me, Harp. Please, Diaz." Matter of fact, I was going to say they have major holes in the bullpen. I still think Diaz is not a real closer. Hopefully,
absolutely.
Sandy knows that.
Yeah, I'm not buying in on Diaz. It's another thing. I'm hearing people talking like he had this great year. He cost them games early. It kind of set the tone for the season. The bullpen was a mess early, got him off to a bad start, and they never really recovered. Yeah, he got better later, but he put up some good numbers in the seventh inning before he did get better late in the year. He got some saves, but he even though some of those were tightrope. I know he struck out a ton of guys, but to me, I still don't trust him. I don't think he knows where the ball is going, even this fastball half the time. So I think the idea of him as being a sure thing as a closer is misguided. So whether they're going to put Lugo back in the pen, if they get enough starting pitching, if not, you got to go out and get a couple of relievers. Listen, if Kirby Yates is out there, he gets back to throwing that splitter the way he was a couple of years ago, I'd much rather take my chances with him closing than Diaz. So, yeah, I think they need depth. A lot of pitching depth is what they need mostly. And then, as you said, catcher and center fielder, those are the big areas of need.
Talk with John Harper, SNY.TV, and we are in agreement with the bullpen being overrated last year, specifically Diaz and the lineup as well. Last one, though, Harp, the star power name again, Francisco Lindor. He's an exciting player to think about. He's going to be available, or he is available. Realistically, you think the Mets can get him? What would it take? Would you want Lindor? What are your thoughts on his possible acquisition?
Yeah, I've been back and forth on this, Sal. I do think they have a shot to do it without giving up too much, I wouldn't give up Dom Smith or Alonso, that's for sure, or McNeil. But I do think there's a shot where you could give up, because I don't think there are going to be very few teams, maybe the Blue Jays have the farm system and the willingness to take on that salary, but very few teams are going to take on $20 million or so he's going to make as in arbitration this year, not knowing if you can sign him long-term. You'd assume if the Mets are going to go get him, they're going to plan on Steve Cohen wanting to sign him long-term. So if you can do it, giving up one of the shortstops, and I love Jimenez. I would love to keep him. I'd rather give up Rosario. So if you can give up Rosario and J.D. Davis, because the Indians do need offense if they're going to try and contend again, which I assume they are, and then maybe one of your top prospects like a Mauricio. But you can't give up a haul out of the farm system because the Mets just don't have the depth in the farm system to do that. I don't know. I'm kind of back to leaning toward taking my chances with Jimenez at short and keeping all your chips in the farm system, keeping everything you got for depth, and then waiting to see. Because that shortstop market next year, Lindor's going to be out there. It's going to be Correa's going to be out there. Story's going to be out there. There's going to be some really good shortstops in the free agent market where you don't have to give up anything to get them. So it's tempting, especially if it's not going to cost you a boatload. So we'll see how it goes, I guess.
Interesting. Yeah, and I'm kind of torn on that, too. Look, I'm just excited that the possibilities seem endless here for a change, so it should be great with both the Mets. And, you know, the Yanks go for it every year, and they put a team out there every single year that can contend to win a World Series. I know it hasn't happened since 2009, but they're in it in the playoffs every year. They always have a chance. And now, I think those are the expectations, Harp, for the Mets as well. So it's going to be fun. For what we do, this is the greatest thing ever.
Gives us something to talk about all winter, so.
Love it. Enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend, Harp. We appreciate your time. We'll hopefully see you soon over at the SNY studios.
All right, thanks. Great talking to you, Phil.
Yep, John Harper, SNY.TV. You can check out his columns on there and watch him on Baseball Night in New York or Geico Sports Night.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.